Bring your attention inside yourself, which is where prayer and its effects, its important effects, arise. Inside of you, the individual, when your outer senses are relaxed, but you're still quite aware, still conscious of what you do, and you place your attention in certain ways so that you can verify for yourself the difference between your type structure and the attitude of prayer, which is purely receptive. The type structure is conditioned. It's a psychological term that means on automatic. And yes, we have choice, but it's very limited. We can choose various things during the course of the day that are necessary for outer survival, for human pleasure, for all of those things that life is about. But it operates largely in two sections of your brain out of many sections. You have thoughts, you have memories, you have plans. You have guided images, imagination. You have emotion, you have sensation. Now, this is a spiritual method. It comes out of Buddhism, but it certainly makes the point very well for us all. If you bring your attention in. Now, please focus your attention on your thoughts. It's a category. It emanates from the prefrontal lobes of your brain. Thinking. We all do it. We all depend upon it. And it is one of several important potentials of your consciousness which have been forgotten. Thinking. These are the categories of ordinary consciousness. The one that we use, the one that is not a state of prayer, which is purely receptive. These categories are what a psychologist would look at and say, that is the constitution of your structure. Call it your ego, call it your type, call it what you like. It runs in a highly sophisticated way, covering a very few categories of consciousness that emanate from a small sector of brain, neglecting other potentials that are housed in deeper sections of brain. And we have evidence for this now which has done nothing but support the Enneagram in a very helpful way. From the inside, you can examine this map of consciousness. Can you focus on your thoughts? Category one, thinking. This is personal and private to you. No one but yourself has this particular set of thoughts. They come of your history. They come of your experience. And no one but you has this particular take, this view of reality as you live it out. Thinking. Can you shift your attention to a memory, something in your own past, highly personal to you? Only you remember these events in this particular way. Now let's put a little focus on this memory department. Were you alone or with someone else or with other people? To stabilize your attention on an object of attention, the memory in this case, you have to hang around with it a little bit inside and not move on so quickly to something else. Were you alone or with other people? What was the scene? Were you indoors or outside? Can you remember your age at this time? Was it yesterday? Was it long ago? Memory. Where were you in the memory? Was it sunlight or was it raining? Were you in a city or in the country? You make it as literal as you can because the memory is real and it has a place in your brain. It's installed. And it isn't going to go away. For all of your life, you will be able to remember yourself historically. Can you shift your attention now to category three? Something in the future. Something that hasn't happened yet that you're planning for. Category of planning. Is it a trip? Is it an event at home? Where are you in there? So that when you focus on the plan, everything else recedes. When you focus on a single object inside your mind, everything else goes away. It needs your full attention to stay with the plan. Focus of attention is the mainstay of spiritual method as well as psychological understanding. And we have to get used to this method because we've been deprived of it. What it means is that when you focus on one thing, everything else quite naturally recedes. Where did the memory go when you're focused on the plan? Let's return to the plan. Where will you be going? Are there people there that are familiar or strangers if you're on a trip? Make it as literal as possible. Is it just outside of your town or your city? Is it going to the office? Stick with one plan. That's the beginning of method. One thing at a time. Instead of moving so rapidly between the categories of mind, one thing at a time for contemplation. Category three, imagination. Can you imagine a pleasant place where you like to go and hang out? A coffee shop, a neighbor's house, your own study, office in your house, a place where the sun comes out and comes through the window and you like to go there. It's a pleasant place where you like to spend time. But only one. Only one place. And when you land on that, can you enhance that focus of attention so that everything else goes away? Can you walk around a room if you're in a room? Can you walk around outside if the pleasant place is outside? Wherever you are, stick with it. There's no effort of will. You simply allow your imagination to fill in the blanks. What's the weather like in this pleasant place? What's the time of day? Can you tell that by the light and shadow? Can you feel the wind on your face? Sensation is another category. Can you feel, is it warm? Is it cold? Can you feel the air around you? In the pleasant place where you like to spend time, can you imagine how you would feel emotionally if you were there right now? If you were there right now in the pleasant place, look around yourself. That stabilizes your focus of attention. And feel your emotions there, because surely you've looked forward to it. It's a pleasant place. And now you can relax a little. It allows you to stay in one place only. And knowing what's around yourself and feeling your emotions, can you feel your body stand in the pleasant place? And all walking around, can you feel one foot, another foot? Can you walk around the pleasant place? Can you look down and see your shoes? What are you standing on? Is it carpet? Is it cement? Indoors or outdoors? All of this stabilizes your attention without much effort. You allow these different attributes of the pleasant place to emerge, to arise, we call it in spiritual jargon. And if you're outside, are you on cement? Are you on grass? And all of this allows, without any effort, allows the usual type patterns to recede. You just don't need them now. In a praying state of mind, you don't need the categories that keep your type structure alive. You need other resources of knowing, received knowing. That's what prayer is all about. When you relax yourself in an attitude of prayer, if we can remember how, and you're all inside of yourself, instead of praying externally to something out there in the real world, inside in the interior world, it's the beginning of the vertical ascent of consciousness. Because your consciousness never went away in all of these excursions into the conditioned reality of your type structure. You, the consciousness that has no form, commonly known as witnessing consciousness, or reflective awareness, or the inner observer, call it what you like, you have an aptitude that was there at birth that never got respectful teaching. You have an attribute, we all do, regardless of our religion, our race, where we are in the world. We can witness, observe the type structure from a separate point of view. And you know you have done this because you have discovered your type. And we know if you have discovered your type, that you have been silently witnessing the thoughts that identify your type, the emotions that are crucial to driving the type structure, and the sensations of your body that contract but can be allowed to relax, let go and let God, to use a familiar term, let go to the interior world. We've been deprived of method to make a living link, a consciousness link between ourselves and what surrounds the type, what penetrates the type that has no form. We live in the world of form. You have a type structure that has been formed over time that is particular to you. No one else is like you on the planet out of billions. No one has your face, your fingerprints. No one has your experience of memories and the aspirations of your plans. No one else but you has your particular emotional tone around certain things that upset you or also please you greatly. No one but you has the particular sensations of your own energetic state inside so that you can cooperate by relaxing contractions against God, which means, from a psychological point of view, contractions against the very life force that conveys living vitality infused with grace. A word that has gone marvelously out of fashion lately. The grace that runs this whole planet, that creates the seasons and the cycles, and that everything responds to that is alive and in form. Animals, people, weather, me, you. And that we can observe internally, witness, reflect upon the structure of the separating vehicle between ourselves and deeper prayer, the living link is your consciousness. Please bring your attention inward. Bring your attention inward, away from the structure of the type. You have to start somewhere. To use a map of how to cooperate with your type structure to reach a receptive state of well-being, of energy inside, where unformed, greater knowing can touch each individual, and it's our responsibility to get out of the way, to relax our resistance, which is our survival after all. It's a great thing to be able to voluntarily relax your type structure because it is suitable to survival in the horizontal plane of daily living and quite inappropriate for the vertical ascent of consciousness. These little placements of attention, they seem so insignificant. They're the hub. Reposition your placement of attention, a different state of consciousness emerges as a result. Prayer is a state of consciousness different than being in your type structure and running your organized life. Both are valuable. One cannot live without the other. But your type structure isn't going to have a spiritual experience. But yet you've had one. Isn't that interesting? You wouldn't be sitting in this room if you weren't at least curious. If there wasn't some remembrance in you, I've been there. I know what it's like. It's a state of consciousness that's peaceful, like taking a walk in nature, where you feel touched suddenly by something bigger than yourself because you fell into the right state. The state of mind, which we are responsible for, or relaxing. You are responsible, and so am I, for relaxing our resistance to reality. Bring your attention in. Just turning attention inward is a huge step in consciousness, so that you can recognize and verify for yourself the very personal way in which you conduct your life. The very personal way in which your structure has been trained over time, has been conditioned is the word, been conditioned over time to react in an automatic way that allows you to survive emotionally. And we can hear on panels that there are different emotional patterns that allow other people, other types of people, to survive quite well in their own way. And there is a deep respect, actually, for the different ways in which people can move about in the world that are different from yourself. That's the beginning of the study, but not the end. What part of you has recognized your type? So that you can sit on a panel and disclose what is most important to you and how you operate to other people, so that they will never see people of your same type the same way that they used to. It's marvelous education. Oh, how I misread you all. I didn't understand the integrity of how you survive in the world. How different it is from my own. But how sweet it is to know how you work, how you think, how your very brain is structured to automatically respond to things. And that's not all of you. And that's not all of you. Bring your attention in, repeatedly, in and away from the confusion. Inside. And inside, can you find the breath? In. Drop down, using the inner observer for its proper job of learning how to pray. Relax down through your breath. through your throat, through your chest, deeper in, deeper inside, past the solar plexus. Give it a real breath of air. It closes so quickly when we're trying to survive. But relax through the solar plexus and down, down into the deep part of yourself where it seems that breath and your attention can come together. And we'll sit just for a couple of minutes together, being carried by the breath. That's an attitude of surrender. Be carried. Be carried by nothing, by emptiness. It's a very narrow gate. Just the breath, this one now, present. Present with your attention to now. The breath is always now. There is no next or previous. And here, time stops. In the world of spirit, there is no time. No memory, no plan, the narrow gate between past and future. Now. Trust the breath and be carried by it. It's done its job for quite a long time. Let go to now. In category one, thinking arises, let it go. Return to the breath. If a memory appears, just don't go there. Stay with the breath and be carried. It's a lot more peaceful. If a plan arises, just don't pay attention. Back to the breath. This is our human participation in an act of prayer, to let go the known, the type structure, survival on the horizontal plane of existence, and the complete trust of being able to relax into nothing and not know what's coming next. No anticipation, no rejection of anything that comes. This is the field of presence. Nothing to get, nothing to avoid. Just now, the breath. If a fantasy comes, you can recognize it arising, let it go. Spirit is not a world of fantasy, but it is a world of emptiness and silence. Emotion is the transformer. When emotion comes, simply relax through the emotion to the breath that is, after all, supporting the emotion. And even emotion that we value as my heart, me, the heart of things, that too just simply relaxes. And all of that energy that was previously contained in the emotional driver of your type relaxes, and there goes automatic reaction that binds us to the type structure. Relax the emotional driver and get used to it. Many times in the course of a day, you're without this emotional driver, but we forget that. When it engages, it's as if it's always been there. Relax emotion and allow the energy, the life force infused by grace that was contained in that habit of reactivity that keeps us safe, yes, but is really in the way when you're trying to receive from a higher level of consciousness that can infuse the type. When with your willing participation, you relax your type structure so that you can receive and be taken somewhere else. And if a sensation, the last of the categories, pleasant or unpleasant, occurs, want to get something, want to get away from something, you don't know you're doing this. When you're walking around in the world, that most choices are made for us based on the condition that we have, our type. Get something, avoid something. We don't know. But you can witness all of this from inside of yourself. And it is our participation to relax the type structure, such that we're empty inside. And what a relief. No suffering. No driving emotion, no passion of the heart, no suffering. No thoughts of getting or not getting, gone. Let's sit another couple of minutes in and down, be carried by the breath. When a category of type structure arises, witness and let it go. That is our cooperation with the next level of consciousness, which is bound up in our type structure. But we let it go. In, down, being carried, recognizing categories as they arise, letting them go. It becomes a pleasure to let go your burden, to lay your burden down. stay inside yourself. Stay inside means anchor on the breath. Stay inside yourself. But open your eyes. It's unusual to live this way. Stay inside. In and down with the breath. Surrendered to the breath. Notice that all those categories just simply cease to be when you're anchored on the breath. And this simple trajectory of prayer, meditation, can happen on the spot when you get used to being carried by the breath in the absence of categories. Even under great pressure, even facing terrible things, in and down, and being carried, you will not feel assault. You will not feel degradation. You will not feel any of much when you've relaxed your feelings with your eyes wide open. It's a method that can be easily learned. The only resistance is, I don't believe it. I'll be out of control. Is there a God? Questions. They need to be answered. They're psychological defense. And the psychology of this is, that's your survival in the ordinary plane of living. Jobs, people, families. But what if you could meet that same situation from a different state of mind internally? The view is completely different from an internal state of mind. You're not of a mind to respond to things with your type's reactivity. You're not of a mind to be seeing, looking for, without realizing it, danger or control or seduction or whatever you got in terms of your type's defenses. It just recedes. And this is the teaching I want to give you this morning. Stay in, drop down, go there with your eyes open. Get a few breaths. Be peaceful inside in the midst of difficulty. That's something. Because the human mind can only hold one focus at a time. That's fact. That's neurobiological fact. And the brain is so sophisticated in moving quickly past to future, so quickly, that we forget that you can just let memories and plans recede by allowance, by cooperation, by our human role in the evolution of consciousness. User-friendly terms for letting go and letting God. Same state of mind described through the eyes of science or the eyes of mysticism. Take your pick. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you cooperate with letting go your suffering. Now that is a very sweet deal. And to be able to stand, it's like a miracle to stand in the midst of difficulty that previously would have sent you screaming out of the room internally. It doesn't get you. And it's a very modest claim not to walk on water, but to see objective reality. It's so modest, the claim of this, and so refined. Just get with reality as it is objectively, because When the type structure engages, when you let your thoughts come in and your emotions come in, anytime you introduce a vector of concentration out there without you knowing about this at all, it is all subcortical, it is all unconscious, it is all handled by the sophistication of the human brain. Sophisticated, yes. Objective, no. As soon as a vector like jealousy or seduction or aversion, my old favorite, or any of those maneuvers to support your well-being from a psychological point of view, whenever that comes to mind, you focus out there, and without you knowing about it at all of your energy and attention goes to that vector, because energy follows attention, which is a law of physics and metaphysics as well. And when the focus of intention engages, it pre-sorts out of billions of bits of observable data, out of 100 possibilities and conclusions that you could come to. You come to seeing the reality and acting toward the reality that you can see, which is an illusion. When the focus of attention engages out there, it pre-sorts information in here, and I am convinced that you are a dangerous human being. And you're convinced of whatever silliness you have as a type structure, that the world is depriving you, or the world is somehow in one way. What's your type?
Two.
You're a two. Well, you know, these special people that are going to make you safe, you could suss out in the crowd. Eyes turn to that person. I think I'll go there. And you don't know you're doing this. You're in an illusion. And you, Mr. Five, I know you, you know. You look out there and you think, oh, they all can see me. I think I'll get a nice behind the potted palm view of this room so that I can be safe and look at you. And we don't know we're doing this. And it all changes when you're in and receptive. The claim is so modest. Let's get a little reality, folks. All I want to do is see objective reality. This was the Buddha's whole teaching. Fortunately, they never divinized him, or we'd have another Vatican website trying to get rid of heretics that are called Buddhists. The Buddha's claim was he was never deified. It's really very useful for us to use Buddhist maps, which Frosty the Snowman is a Buddhist map, by the way. But it's very useful to be able to use these maps, because the Buddha had a very basic claim. I just want to live in reality, not in illusion. And modern psychology verifies that. I just want to live in reality, in objective reality, because then I can see people suffering and I can do something about it. Instead of seeing them as somehow causing my suffering, because my focus of attention delivered survival data to my mind, to my brain, and I'm gone to reality, instead of being in the present moment, in an extended state. And then you begin to receive impressions internally about reality as it actually is. And then this is the renewal of the Enneagram in our time. We're adding a piece that's very valuable. If I can change my state of mind on the spot to be receptive to reality as it actually is, then my psychological state of mind recedes, because I can only do one thing at a time. And we must choose, or not choose, to stay with that focus of attention until you begin to see the suffering of another person. And if you speak to that, you are in relationship with their essential quality, their soul, and you can be of some use to help that person instead of opposing them, because you see them as an object of seduction, as an object of fear, as an object.